March 27, 2021. It's the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. of the hill. Working on your Smith Corona ribbon still. We'll have your wagon and a rubber ball. And your favorite pair of worn-out overalls.
For Pedro Show, happy Saturday. I think it's the last Saturday of the month. Here comes April. Here comes D-Boone's B-Day on April Fool's. No fooling. Start off the show with John Coltrane doing Lazy Bird. Now, Bird was a nickname given to a great alto player from Kansas City, Charlie Parker. And maybe this song ain't about him, but the Bird part made me think of it. So thank you. Also, I think Lester Young, too. A lot of great cats came out, music-wise. And, in fact, yeah, Frog in a Pail. Dan Jones and Squids from Live Street. And we'll get into how this got all done. But first, I got to tell you, Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto on Pleasure Point here, a couple miles south of me and Pedro, because of quick quarantino mode. But I'm not totally man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I've got Dan, Steve, Matt, Kansas City. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I noticed now Dan's voice comes up. See, it's showtime. We know that trick, right? Y'all little at sound check, then it's gig time. Start blasting. So, Dan, I counted your pad in Eugene.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I first got to meet you and know you. But I didn't really get into your musical journey. So can we do that now? Can you give me your earliest musical recollection? Like when you were a boy.
I think my dad used to travel he was in the cement business. He came home from a trip and brought me a three-record set of kids' records and as a present. And I remember sitting up in the corner listening to Three Little Fish or one of those old novelty songs with the bubble voices. It was kind of magic.
yeah, and it was from your pops, so that's fucking happening. In the pad, was it in Kansas City you grew up?
I grew up in a suburb, North Kansas City, called Liberty.
Okay. Liberty, I think that's the Harry S. Truman, right? No? No, that's Independence.
Yeah.
Fucking shit. What? That's a good thing about Alzheimer's, though, because you're always learning new facts. in this pad you grew up in, Dan, was there musical instruments?
Yes. I'm the youngest of eight, so I had two sisters who played brass instruments. My oldest sister was a professional accompanist in a Lincoln, Nebraska school district later. My mom was a choir director, so we had a piano.
So you got music in your family. Okay.
Yep.
Now, any of those instruments, I guess brass, you didn't tell me what, like tuba or trumpet?
Beth played trombone and Sarah played French horn. And then
you know about bone, right? It's bass clef, so I'm into that. And the French horn, you know who played that, who played bass, right? John Entwistle. There's a fucking French horn solo in the middle of Pictures of Lily, which is my book. But I heard they're hard to play, a funny mouthpiece. But did you jump on any of their shit?
Yeah, I inherited Beth's trombone and started on that in the sixth grade. And I took that all the way through college. Almost.
Okay, now did you learn how to read bass clef?
Yeah.
Okay, were you in the marching band? I heard they're kind of easier for the marching band because the big mouthpiece, you know, because you fucking stumbaloni and that shit.
Yeah, we did. So
this answers my other question. There was a music program at the school you went to, and you were in the band and stuff like that. But let's go back to home. Besides gifts of records, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it was a Billy Joel cassette, probably Nylon Curtain. I was probably fifth or sixth grade.
Okay, and what was the first gig you went and saw?
Billy Joel in sixth grade.
Okay. So would you say Billy Joel's a big fucking influence in your music life?
I don't know. Not so much the sound of what we do, but as somebody, you know, I think I related to the fact that he told stories.
No, I'm not talking about the sound so much. I mean you as a music person.
I'd say up until I discovered rock and roll and punk rock, Billy Joel was a big influence.
You don't think he was rock and roll? Didn't he have a song about soldiers rock and roll?
he was rock and roll.
You know, I had a buddy. But he did do this kind of piano ballad stuff because I had a buddy, Tony Platt, a beautiful guy. We lost him 10 years ago, apnea. But I remember Captain Jack or whatever that, maybe that's his first record or something. Kind of a balladeer thing. So, I mean, for me, music is music. I just hate the idea of genre anyway. What about, so you're in the Bone, and there's no ska bands yet, right? So you're really not doing this after school in the afternoon with your buddies, like a garage band, a basement band, a bedroom band?
Steve could speak to that.
Yeah.
We're going to get to Steve. But how'd you get how'd you get from the Bone to the fucking guitar, Dan?
Well, probably eighth, ninth grade. I bought an old Tysco guitar from a guy named Bobby Simmons. He was joining the Navy, and I learned to play that kind of through our old stereo at home. And then Steve and I started playing in the bedroom and in his barn. And
what made you go get that guitar? Like the Bone wasn't doing it for you?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, yeah.
It's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Well, my answer was D. Boone, but I felt like that was I don't want to be smarmy, but that's true.
He would love to hear that. I mean, he would love to hear that because he thought everybody should try music, you know, or arts in general, right? Some kind of expression, artistic expression. So don't worry about that. Ain't smarmy. It's beautiful. Thank you. But you're saying Steve enters into this equation. Maybe we should get to Steve's story, huh? Steve, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Earliest probably from my mom. She grew up in Pittsburgh, and she had all these cool, like, Pittsburgh garage records. That she'd go to these dances, and then she'd have these comps, and she was on the cover of one of them. She was always bragging about it, and they were just like dance photos, but like, I'm on this, you know, and we really listened. There was like, I mean, one of the more known bands, there was a Sonic song on one of them, but I didn't know who the Sonics were until 100 years later, but.
You're talking about the band, from Tacoma or Portland or on the West
Coast,
right?
Yeah, for some reason this DJ would throw these dances and he'd pick his favorite tracks from around the country and then he put these comps out. Mad Mike Moldies is what they were called. I still got them, but like maybe West Side Story. My mom listened to that all the time.
Okay, but she's more of a listener, right? There's no instruments in the pad.
My pop brought a guitar home one day, and I guess he played in high school, but he was kind of I was the oldest of four boys, and he was always workaholic. And, one day he brought a guitar home when I was about, I don't know what grade, it was in grade school. It was really nice, big hollow body Gretsch, and he brought an amp and a guitar home that he borrowed from somebody at his work, and it was in the house for about a week, and then he decided it was frivolous, and he didn't want to spend the money. Years later, he bought us these little acoustic guitars, but when my uncle sat on it, they were like these cardboard guitars, I remember.
Cardboard? Shit.
They were like Sears cardboard guitars.
Well, what about maybe Masonite or shit, because how could you get any tension on the goddamn string? What about at school? Were you in the choir, the marching band or shit like that?
That's kind of how I met Dan. I moved up to Liberty. We moved around a lot as kids, and I got to Liberty in like seventh grade and decided I was going to try out for be in the band. It was like, you got to be in band or choir. And I was like, I guess I'll go in band. And then, I played the trumpet for a minute, but it was pretty competitive. Our school had a pretty well, respected program, and the kids were always going off to state competitions. So it was pretty competitive, and I was not too good at the trumpet. And they said, we need a tuba player. I said, do I have to buy one? They said, no, we'll give you one. So I went to tuba, and that's really kind of how I met Dan, because we had tubas and trombones sat next to each other.
Right. And then you end up on the bass guitar.
Yeah, well, when we first started, Dan and I got together, we kind of switched it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And
you didn't mention that, Dan. So you actually was on the bass. I thought the Tasco guitar.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I had bought the bass.
And so, I remember.
Okay, so it was Steve's bass, but then he let you play it. And Steve jumped on the Tasco?
That's how I remember. But then, you know, there's footage of me in the barn with a guitar. But,
yeah.
And you're just kind of singing.
And are you both playing through the stereo?
Nah, we never got to that. I mean, really, we had a...
I think I got a practice amp by that point.
Yeah, I think he bought... Yeah, Dan invested more money than I did, I think, and then he became the guitar player, so...
Now,
which is good.
I'm curious. Did you guys start writing material right away, or did you start copying off... I mean, as far as bass guitar and electric guitar, you didn't have teachers like you did at school with those brass instruments, right?
Our first band was called Corndog Jamboree. We played the talent show in high school. We probably had 10
songs.
10 originals. Yeah. And they were pretty primitive, but it was super fun.
I remember trying to learn. The first thing was I was trying to copy something. And it was Black Flag's Damaged. I'm like, oh, I got this. I can figure this out. But other than that, we didn't really try to copy too much.
There's actually two Damages. There's Damage 1, Damage 2.
It was Damage 2, I think, was the easier one.
Yeah.
one of them was really slow, and like you're with Henry right?
I'll give you some
insight to how Hank did that. He turned all the lights off and fucking duct taped two microphones to his head, like a headband, like a Rambo thing, and ran around with the lights off just going crazy. Yeah. Anyway, maybe I'm not supposed to tell that, but that's how it was done. So do you get, what was Corn Dog? What was it called? Some kind of Corn Dogs?
Corn Dog Jamboree.
Corn Dog Jamboree. And what was the first Corn Dog Jamboree like? First gig.
We only played like one or two gigs.
Okay, what was the only gig?
It was a high talent show. I think it was on a built up stage in the gym and one other Liberty hardcore band called Spastic Motive, who's a big, kind of one or two grades up from us and more, they had been practicing for a while. And we played this double punk rock bill at our high school, and our friend Mark Hoffman sang.
Yeah.
And our friend Mindy Mattingly played drums. And
was it a success?
Liked it.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We got asked to go play a field party.
Yeah,
up in out in this country, some other high school. But then people threw some cans at us.
Okay, I can share on that. So maybe not as much a success. But let me ask you about both those gigs. Was you scared?
I don't remember.
Okay,
I think I was.
Fair enough.
I think I was.
I still get fucking scared. I want to play "Living on a Lockdown Wing."
Thank you.
Dr. Pedro Show. That chunk of music started with Dan Jones and Squids. Squids in a Midwest band. That's pretty true. Well, you know, the river, I guess, could have some squids in the river. Got lost. But Living on a Lockdown Wing. And after that, brand new from Dustin Wong. He's got a new album. Dustin's got this. It's called Internal. What's that called? Onsen. Hot Spring. Internal Hot Spring. Fuck what? And it's just great. Comes out next week. Simon's Guide to Hot Springs. God, I was writing the title there, you asshole. Okay. Tommy Dahill after that out of Alaska with Rue de Jean Pierre Banjo. The not good French accent on banjo there, but probably not with the other ones. Tommy's beautiful. Chris Murphy, Violin Cat, had me play a bass on this. It's called 3 Feet Deep. And, you know, I gave him this one try. Hey, come on, Watt. Oh, so I gave him another one. He liked that one. There you go. You know, it's trippy trading files, right? Bombus Printing after that from D.C. area with Energy Comes in Waves. Hans Rotten out of Switzerland with Anima Sana. Holy Spirit. 40 Ways from Sunday with Porcelain Doll. And finally, AAR Punks. And part of this live stream, Dan Jones and Squid. And AAR, especially people maybe overseas and stuff, it's for people getting close to retirement age. I think I'm a little closer than these cats, but maybe they're feeling it. Okay, Matt, let's get to you. Your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, my mom was a piano player and played the piano and organ at church. And she always had, for me, almost the first thing I can remember is like Simon and Garfunkel and Kingston Trio, like vocal. And she never sang lead. She always liked to sing harmony. I know she's probably listening. Hi, Mom. So I like to sing harmonies. I think I got that from her.
True. Sorry for cussing if your mom's listening.
It's all right.
Okay. So you grew up in a musical pad. So there was a piano there, right? And an organ, too? Or was the organ in church?
She had a pump organ, like an old school. Yeah, right. She had a pump organ in the house all the time. And then the other was just a regular Baldwin Acrosonic. She taught piano lessons to the neighborhood kids. And
what, did she I teach never you?
Take them. No, I never wanted to take them.
And you never jumped on these instruments?
I kind of messed around with them. She had an auto harp, too, and I really liked that because all you had to do was push the button. And
well, you know what? If you think about it, pianos and organs are buttons, right? There's a button for each note. I'm laughing because, you know, people with the lip, like the horn, like the brass stuff, people with the strings, like with the bass, we got to get all our notes from these kind of analog things, and here these guys get these buttons, right? It's almost pre-digital. Well, it is. Remember player piano music? It was almost like key punch cards. But,
yeah,
but anyway, you end up a stick man. So how'd that happen?
Well, I took guitar lessons for about 5 minutes, same, and my mom thought I didn't practice enough, so she took the guitar from me, and she took over my lesson slot and tried to learn how to play guitar a little bit. And I still thought I wanted to do music, and so, and again, I grew up in Jefferson City right in the middle of the state, and the band program was really, really strong, so I decided I wanted to play the drums and join high school band, or, you know, middle school.
You played field drum in the marching band.
Yeah, and marching band actually was a huge part of my life.
Well,
in high school, for
one thing, football, I know, so the games, you know, Pedro, you know, the Pirate, of course we were called the Pirates, and it was kind of a big deal. But I'm curious, because you're doing that field drum, you play traditional grip?
I did a little bit, although my instructors in high school they always wanted us to play match grip, but I went on and did.
Wow, even on a field drum. Because I thought that was more of a rock and roll trap kit thing.
Yeah, it was just the 80s, and people thought that match grip was just better. But I ended up doing competitive drum and bugle corps all through high school, college, and going on the road with that. And I didn't even play on the field. I played on the sideline. I played timpani.
Ah, well, you got they all got notes, but you really got control because that pedal, right?
Right.
Yeah, Perk plays And I remember when I was helping out Porto for Pyro guys, he played with a couple of Tiffs, man. They're amazing. Amazing.
It's a fun thing to play.
Now, besides the school stuff, did you get into the garage band, basement band, bedroom band after school? You know, in the afternoon, not after graduating, but during school days?
Yeah, from eighth grade on, I was always in a rock and roll band, starting with covers. But we moved to more of a California punk rock kind of vibe pretty early. I played all through high school with the same guys, and our band was called Intelligent Descent, and we played pretty regularly all through high school, and we played some covers. But
when you say California, and then you're Intelligent Descent, you mean like Descendants?
Kind of. We listen to a lot of like JFA. We listen to a lot of Agent Orange.
Well,
kind
I got
of
news. JFA is Arizona, but two of the guys were from California, though.
Yeah, we did a lot of Thrasher magazine. So whatever bands were in Thrasher magazine, we'd want to try and find their records. And
Brian was the editor. Yeah. He had me write a couple columns for them. Like, why do you play your bass like it's a skateboard? You know, that's it. So you brought up this connect between music, punk, and skateboard. That was important, huh?
Yeah, just in my friend group, everybody had a skateboard, and maybe it was the most dangerous thing we could do in high school in our town.
Yeah, but the parallel I see is like you can develop your own style with not very expensive equipment. And the same thing with music. You can use econo equipment like Dan with that Tasco to try and find your own way of writing songs and come up with music.
Yeah.
So tell me about the first Intelligent Descent gig.
Ooh, let's see. Well, and we had, like I say, our first gigs, we were still a cover band. We had a female singer. We did like Pretender songs. And but when we started
rewriting. What was that first gig? What was that first gig like? I want to know, because you can only have your first gig once, so I'm curious.
Right. I can only think that the first gig must have been the eighth grade talent show, which we won. We played a Clash song.
Okay.
Should I Stay or Should I Go?
But it must have been a success because you won.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. That's good to hear. How'd you meet these guys?
Dan and Steve. When I got to college, my first, I hit school and there was a note on a board about looking for a drummer, and I was looking to keep playing, and it was from Steve. And we met each other, and it turns out that he had played a gig that my band had been on, the Intelligent Descent had been on a bill in Columbia, Missouri, and Steve's band had come in from Liberty. You weren't there, were you? Dan was not there at that point. And almost right away, we got together and started playing in a basement and playing gigs within, I'd say, a couple of months. We were playing a slash cover original.
You're talking just bass and drums?
Now, Alex, who played on the "We're From a World That's Out of This World," the second guitar player, he was in the band. It's called Oofed.
First time I heard of Alex, but I probably have played on the show because I've played almost every fucking piece of music I got from Dan Jones.
You heard it.
Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, March 27, 2021 edition of the Waffle Pedro Show. Special guest Dan Jones and the Squids. Hold tight for hour two. March 27, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Yeah. bodies thrashing round in the wet cement. We're upgrading your experience. Pick me up from the airport at 10:30 p.m. We can come back home and begin again. One gesture is as good as another. That's been the story all along. How do you think I wrote this song? Crashing boredom and punishment. Bodies thrashing round in the wet cement. We haven't seen the last of it. Sometimes the sadness overtakes me. Something I see in the supermarket aisles just overwhelms me. Like something's trying to break me. Shouldn't be so hard to keep the beast at bay. But take away every other night and a sleep in every other day. So many video games. So easy to stay on track. We'd ride our bikes to the Blockbuster for VHS or Betamax and Golden Axe. I guess I must be getting old. Lighting fires to keep the snakes at bay, like Harrison Ford when he played Indiana Jones.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lock for Pedro show. Start up the second hour. The Rhythm and the Rhyme from that live stream. Dan Jones and Squids. Then Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Golden Axe. Lucas Abella, he was on the show a couple episodes ago in Sydney. The Vent. Andy Kerr out of, he's been Netherlands for, 25 years. A beautiful record he made. The other one, Silver with Americans. Notes to You, the Copenhagen X Sessions from Sleep Party People. Yeah, there's a great label out of Indianapolis called Joyful Noise. And that's one of their things. Cart King from the live stream, Dan Jones and Squids, which was a couple months ago now, right? Okay.
Yeah, we recorded on, I think, November 13th.
Oh, shit, 4 months ago. Okay, before we get to that shit, though, I still got to catch up on the history because now I know how Matt met you and Steve. Actually, they started playing. And then how do you get in the picture? How does it become Dan Jones and the Squids?
Well, when they went off to Warrensburg and started Oofed, and I went to Iowa City, and I was kind of more focused on trombone, jazz, playing in the jazz band, the orchestra, and also writing. So I wasn't really playing guitar-based music at all, other than kind of dinking around with it on the side. And after that, I moved to Oregon and was really more focused on writing then, too. Just kind of, I got an English degree and was, trying to write short stories and poems and stuff.
You're talking literature.
Yeah. But the guitar was always kind of leaned up in the corner, and probably late 20s, really. Probably I was 27 or 28. I started focusing, finishing tunes and playing open mics and so forth. And then that turned into the Squids and later the Golden Motors. And I was out there for 23 years and then moved back in 2013 and just fell in with Matt and Steve and Alex for the first part of the Squids.
Not really, because the first part of the Squids is in Eugene, right?
Right. So that's what I was going to say. The Squids in Eugene were probably 2000 to 2007, and that was Dave Snyder and Eric Jensen, Brian Gardner, Mike Last, Patrick Hayden, Ryan Tacchini, Joe Pettit, Ed Cole played with us a lot. So it was kind of a rotating cast. Yeah. We're a little more stable now, but
when you go back to your hometown and you reconnect with Steve and of course Matt too, you never played together in that big gap between. Okay.
Now, Matt went tour, and I'd stay at his house when I went out to Oregon with my other band, but we always stayed in connection, but we never played.
Yeah.
Dan did write lyrics for a song on one of the Season to Risk records, though.
That's true.
Okay, so there's a little music connect, but not much. It really gets going when Dan moves back to Missouri, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And in Eugene there, by the way, people, that's a college town, right? University of Oregon, Ducks. Yeah. Why'd you call it the Squids? It is close to the ocean. What's the river? Willamette?
Yeah, the Willamette runs through.
But
and
I don't know
if
squids.
McKenzie.
Yeah, right. Squids run up.
It was just a weird idea. I don't know where it came from. I was out in Eugene, and I thought of calling it the Kansas City Squids just to be super goofy. And I had a bunch of names. I had Dan Jones Water and Electric and Dan Jones and the Strange Wide Range and a bunch of goofy one-off names, but the Squids finally stuck. And
I got one little Oregon story about Squids, because there's a place called Coos Bay my uncle took me to, and they call them hooches. They were bait, used for rubber bait, right? Like rubber worms. And they're little fake squids. So a little tiny connection there. I want to play Shook Loose.
Oh,
rocking on your Smith Corona ribbon still. We'll have your wagon and a rubber ball. And your favorite pair of walnut overalls. Anything loose, you can move you towards anything true. Rivets pop, days, delay, lemonade, heartbeat.
Somebody's screaming, yelling into the night. Babe, I don't know if he's talking to God or what. I don't know anything, just keep it shut.
for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Dan Jones's Squids and that live stream recorded back in November. Shook Loose. And then Mecanica Clásica de Barcelona with Dunas de Poisedonia. Nielsen, same town, City 2000. And also Bettnizer after that with Silver Augers. Psychic Hotline, brand new, Dehumanizer, maybe a couple weeks old. And the last, that lost second album that never came out, it just came out not too long ago, and Vetus flowed to me, and this is a tune called Jungle Book. Maybe Mr. Kipling had something to do with it, I don't know. Joe Nolte, the main guy, he lives in Pedro. Originally Dondo, huh? Redondo Beach. Dan Jones' Squid, finally, I Want to Be You. From the live stream. Now, tell me about the first Dan Jones and the Squids gig with Steve and Matt. Is that in Kansas City?
It was in Kansas City. I think the first gig was, like, was it a Cramps tribute?
That the first time we played out live?
Might have been. Or maybe it was like an acoustic, it was like rock bands play acoustic theme night or something.
I don't remember.
But anyway, we played really they were all Eugene Squid songs at that point, and then some covers and stuff, and it was at Record Bar. And
I know that place. I played there downtown. Right. Do you remember a place called the Grand Emporium? It was a blues pad, but they'd have punk shows on Mondays.
Yep.
We're sitting about two blocks from there right now.
Okay. And not far away was another pad called Fool Killers, and that's where the Minutemen first played. It was kind of a community center.
Hey, Mike, the first time that I talked to you, I helped George load his drums out of the Grand Emporium once.
Ah, thank you. And they had a lady making chow there,
that
too.
Part of the night.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we said hi that night.
Okay. Because I remember there was a lady who cooked chow right by the hatch there, and you could...
Yeah.
While we were loading up, we would, like, load up the gut, too.
Yeah.
Some good gigs, great gigs there and stuff. You probably played some Cramps song if it was a Cramps night, right? Some Garbage Man, some Human Fly.
I think we played
Green Fuzz.
Green Fuzz, Lonesome Town.
Okay, what about when you I'm gonna make some fucking Kansas City Squid songs now. What was that first batch like?
It was, you know, I had just moved here, and I would say the batch was kind of, it was slower going. I'd started a new job and kind of transition and stuff, but it was definitely maybe more singer-songwritery than the recent stuff, and more geared towards a two-guitar approach. And
Let's talk about the process. Good. Let's talk about the process. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a four-piece, right?
Well, the first KC Squids was, and then decided to just pull it back.
Sure. But let's talk about the process. Would you, like, make little demos and give them to the guys, hey, come up with parts, or would you write their parts?
I tend to make, fully creative demos where I play all the parts, but I never expect anyone to play those parts. I just kind of do it so I like it and enjoy it, and then I don't really expect people to do what I tell them to do.
And we don't.
But Dan, how about ask them to do? You know, it reminds me of my pop in the Navy. He goes, I never asked anybody to do anything. he was a chief, right? Chiefs, like in the Army, you call him a sergeant, right? So I never asked anybody to do anything.
I have an influence, but, okay. You know.
and then it comes to the prac, right? You show them the stuff, and they find their own way for their parts. Do you say you play everything? Are you a drummer man, too?
I can play pretty primitive drums. I can do it for demos. Like, some of the stuff at the end of that batch of this live thing that are demos, I've played drums on, but not too great.
So Matt's gets to compose there. Okay. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 27, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest Dan Squid and Dan Jones, and I almost said Dan Squid and the Jones. There was a Hollywood band called the Joneses, by the way. Anyway, hold tight for hour three. March 27, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Yeah. Thank you. Sure good to see you guys here tonight.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with My Remotes, Dan Jones and Squids, that live stream. Carnival Jones after that, that's Crane. Some project he had back, maybe with the late, great Richard Derrick. The Way It Once Was. And then Marty out of Poland with Pesh, not Pesh. Sorry for fucking up another language. Pants Exploder out of Brooklyn with a talented, nice talk show guest. Not host, guest, what, fuck. I'm seeing shit that ain't even there. Dead Reverend after that, Lookout Mountain. Gold Mines with Dowager. And finally, The Hazards of Club Life. Dan Jones and the Squids. That sounds like a documentary tune. Right there. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about where all these, all this Dan Jones and the Squids is coming from, this live squid. So what happened in November, 4 or 5 months ago?
Well, it kind of goes back to a year ago when we finished the We Live in a World That's Out of This World, and we were about to go out to the Northwest and play in Eugene, Portland, Seattle.
Yeah, it's called Tour, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was a short tour. I always called our short tours tourlets.
That's very creative of you, Dan. Yeah.
So that got closed down. We couldn't do that. And, you know, our plans to play regionally as much as we could pretty much shot crap. So I figured my mental health state, I would probably want to have a project for the year of COVID or whatever. And so I thought we'll just write tunes and try to do a live recording, make it a pretty tall order, make it a double album of new songs and try to do them well enough that we wouldn't have to record them in the studio later. And that was sort of our goal. And then we talked to you a year ago and sort of getting them shaped up to hopefully you'd play them on your show, which you are, which is awesome. And that kind of kept us going through the year.
Now, I can hear some people clap at the end of this shit. So it was in front of people?
Yeah, it was socially distanced.
Yeah. It was at Record Bar, which will hold almost 400 people.
I played there with the Meat Puppets in 2017.
Yep. We allowed 50 people in there, but we had them all distanced out through the whole place, up in the balcony and everywhere. So.
Now it's pretty good. Yep. Who was it mixed later or was it mixed on the fly?
Paul Malinowski recorded it, engineered it, and mixed it a couple weeks later. At Mammoth Sound. Massive Sound.
Yeah. Did a good job. Good job.
Yeah.
Here, I want to play from the same session, Teal Pumas.
This song's about teal pumas, blue shoes. Shake it, we shook it at the ship. I'm a one. Thank you.
How much coffee did you have?
Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Dan Jones' Squids. And that live stream from November 2020. Teal Pumas. Great title. And, yeah, I remember there was a rap line where the guy's, cuz ain't getting paid, he's wearing Pumas. Like they, it was kind of like a second class. Yeah, they weren't Adidas, right? Or something. I don't know. a grand champion after that with One and Only. Love Your Mother from the Duo Decibel System. That's something from live Cleveland Cats. They were on last week. Pale Angels. This is Jamie out of Wales. Jamie Morrison. I Am Animal. Must Be Love. I Am Animal from Deep in the Woods, 66. Six out of Dublin with Tommy O'Sullivan. I just gave him spiel. I had to think of words right away, so I just thought of one of my favorite books, The Master and Margarita, Misha Bogakov.
I do.
Misha Bogakov, or Mikhail. My name. And then Wizard Sleeve, Paradoxal Meltdown. Finally, Late Bloomer, Dan Jones and the Squids. Okay. And let me ask you, Matt, when you get a Dan Jones song, what's the first thing that's going through your mind?
Sticking with Dan, I always hear harmonies right away. I really like the way he plays rhythm guitar and leads, but you know, it just sets up really nicely for how I like to play drums these days. And, every time I hear a new song, possibilities go flying through my head. What am I going to play? What am I going to sing?
Like, what is to be done?
Yeah.
But it's inspiring, right?
Absolutely.
And to me, that's the greatest gift one music cat can give to another, is inspiration, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. it's kind of a connect, right? A kind of a thread through the heads. And also body, feeling, rhythm, all that. Okay. So right away when you're hearing his tunes, you're thinking parts.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Now, are you a guy that has to chart shit out?
No, I used to write, you know, marching band shows, and I know how to do it, but really I don't ever write anything down. Just play with it. And some, you know, I wish we should be taping everything, because all these songs were so radically different at some point, faster, slower, you know, more rock and roll, more ballady, and you know, it just gets where it goes eventually.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And what? Do you record to a click track? Like this stuff here wasn't done to a click track, right?
No, I generally don't. I did in on the studio record. I did with a click. Well, it's not usually how I like to do it, but no, there was no click on the live record.
Well, let's say the click track's more like lines on a highway and not like railroad track.
Yeah.
Just keeping between the lines. What do you call exactly. that guy you get behind late Saturday night? Bob Weaver? You ever drive behind him? You know Bob Weaver. Anyway, Steve, what about you when you get a Dan Jones song? Does he have bass parts worked out, or does he just give you chords and you come up with your own trip to glue Steve to Dan?
I like having the notes. Like
to
like,
Matt. Not the fuck. I fucked that up. Gluing Dan and Matt together, right? Because
yeah.
that's what glue. Yeah. Bass is kind of like glue. You know, I'm a little biased towards you, Steve, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Thank the hope. I like having like the bass notes, and then I just kind of play with it and do. Dan really lets me kind of go wild and be free, and he's pretty good at letting us make suggestions, but we stick to the lyric, you know. I think the form is always based around the lyric, and then
yeah.
and then we kind of, you know, and I feel like lately we have more variety of kind of songs, so we get to express ourselves a little wilder sometimes, where I don't really know what I'm doing. I just kind of make it up. Very, very, I like dissonance and random stuff, so I kind of throw that in there, and if it's a proper problem, he tells me, and I'm like, all right, I'll dial it back a little.
Well, what you're saying is like the main responsibility is to aid and abet the tune.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same with you, Matt, right?
Absolutely.
And Dan, what do you hope when you bring these things? It's not like, here, do my bidding. It's like you're hoping to fire these guys up, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my hope is that I've written something that's they'll lodge in their memory or in their minds or hearts or whatever, that's something they can relate to, that, you know, is easy to create around because it's enjoyable, you know, not because it's a task, yeah. You know.
Right, right, and a chore. Yeah, yeah, but again, the right most righteous thing I believe a musician can do to another one is have cats that are happy to play your stuff, inspired to be with you and join, right? That's why it's called a band.
Yeah. And I also would say I feel free, you know, really free to get weirder and just
let the freak flag fly.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. Now where can people find you on the internet, please?
DanJonesMusic.com.
Okay. And from there, you probably got all kinds of links to other places too, right?
Yeah. You can find Bandcamp and Spotify. And,
okay. So people, DanJonesMusic.com to find out what's going on. And I can just imagine you guys getting ready to get another batch of tunes together, right?
Yep. Already a whole slew.
Okay. When you get those recorded and shit, come back on the show. We'll talk, play it.
Oh, love to. Be an honor. Thank you.
Okay, Matt, Dan, Steve, thank you so much being on Walt Peter's show. It means a lot to me.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Us too.
People, March 27, 2021, this Walt Peter's show. Keep your powder dry.